So this is our NEPT open coaching and support call on November the 19th, 2017. And I'm here for you for whatever you need, want, would like to discuss, would like to share. Open coaching.
Okay. hey, Sequoia, go for it.
Oh, well, I was actually going to ask you about somebody, but then I kind of figured it all out, so I...
Have you figured it out? Well, maybe it would be good to hear.
Well, I have a client, and she's just been doing really well, losing weight and getting off the metabolic syndrome path. And she's been diagnosed with PCOS, mm-hmm. and I did an oat test on her, and... was it the oat test? Yeah, I did two. Is it the oat test? No, the other one.
The oat test?
Yeah,
the oat test has all the pathways, right?
Which is the one with all the little wheels?
Oh, a Dutch.
Okay, that's it. The Dutch test. I knew it wasn't the oat test right when I said it. So I did the Dutch test on her, and from there, recommended the broccoli seeds and stuff like that, and then she got an appointment from a fertility endocrinologist.
Okay.
Yes.
Sounds fancy.
And actually, when I read their website, they are like, whoa, into acupuncture and all.
Are they up in Canada by you?
This is right in our hometown.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, whoa, this is great. So yeah. I sent her off with a list of tests to request and the reasons why, so that she can say, well, I've got this in my family and I've got this in my family. I'd like to check this out and I'd like to check this out. And is it possible to do that? And, you know, without being intimidating.
Right.
and then I read, they also had a letter about PCOS. So this were clients, they've got all these information letters. And in the information letter, it had said, you know, the relationship to metabolic syndrome. And so I said, okay, now see those, this list. Now see those next four ones. I want you to ask for them too. So now, because in Canada, they have this system where they're slowly not allowing the doctors to do certain tests. They're taking them off. However, if you are a specialist, you can ask for whatever you want.
Oh.
And also for things like vitamin D, we have to pay for, and reverse T3 we have to pay for. But if you do it through a specialist, you don't.
Oh, and it's not an endocrine specialist? I mean, could a GI specialist ask for reverse T3? Really? How interesting.
Specialist. So this is what they're allowed to do. However, both of them are taught to save money.
Sure.
Right? So you kind of, you know, you got to get past that, right?
Right.
And so I always ask them to ask for everything and see what they get. And also here in Canada, you cannot get, you can get a TSH, no problem, but a free T3 and a free T4 are always cancelled if the TSH
is
in a specific range, which is usually a very wide range. But if you have a TSH that's very, very low, indicating and with the symptoms of hyperthyroidism, you can then get the T3 and the T4 taken, or the free T3 and the free T4.
Okay.
So knowing all that, I said, well, just go ask if you can get all these thyroid tests done as well, because you have a family history where you have a lot of hypothyroid people, and you also have a hyperthyroid person. So you can ask for all these.
Mm.
So I'm trying to, you know, use the system the way it is.
Exactly. And have it be making sense to them. Right.
And I was kind of going to go over with you how, you know, which tests, but I think I've pretty much covered all the bases.
Covered it all. So, I mean, at least you got to get insulin with metabolic syndrome and that you got to get insulin. Yes. I would love fasting and postprandial, but nobody ever wants to do postprandial. Well, I
hear that there are, they don't even do a total T4 here, even if nobody can get.
No, that's a real rare one. That's like people, they cut it out of the basic panel on when LabCorp, when Direct Labs went from LabCorp over to Quest, they cut it out of the basic panel. And it, you have to ask for it. And it's crazy.
Well, you can't even ask for
it. You can't even ask for it.
You'd have to send it to the States. Hmm. Yeah, it's not even available to even to pay for.
I wish I could understand the rationale, right? I really wish I could, because when I think about it, right? You have a thyroid. You want to know, number one, is it secreting what it should be secreting? So what's the total available? Then you want to know, does the body know how to take it off the binder? And so you want to get the free form of it. Then you want to know, does the body convert from T4 to T3? Because if somebody has symptoms of hypothyroid and their TSH looks fine, right? We all know this. And they have symptoms, where's the breakdown? And even if the TSH is high, we want to know where's the breakdown. So you're not going to know it without knowing the total T4. Because if you just have the free T4, you don't know if they've got just very little thyroid-binding globulin, but they have low levels of both. I mean, there's just so, it floors me. Like, I wish somebody could explain to me the reason for pulling out a key test like that.
Well, I think it's probably political.
But it costs a little to do a total T4.
Well, I think it's probably political.
Political. What do you mean political?
For reasons that would not make any sense.
Okay. I'm not sure I follow, but...
I'm not going to go into it. I'm sure you'll work it out at some point.
I think it has to do with Big Pharma. Oh, look, I got rays of light coming in here.
Oh, she's being angelic today.
I am. Well,
she has wet hair too, Tony.
Yeah. No, this is hair being pulled out. It's been a techie day, bad techie day. But on the political level, wow, that is cool. you know, Big Pharma's in there and says, if we know all of this, then we won't need them anymore, right? Mm. The AMA is in there and says, if they know all of this, then they won't need us anymore. They're not like you are, that you want to put us out of business for a good reason.
I want to put myself out of business. I mean, that's my main goal in life, is to put myself out of business.
Exactly.
I guess
that's, you know, my at least that's my take on it. Sequoia may have a different version. That's my down and dirty reader.
I don't think I need to comment any further.
Okay, good. All right. I guess my brain doesn't just think that way. It's like my ultimate goal when I'm working with somebody is, how do I support them as best I can? How do I determine where the breakdown is? And yeah, maybe I just have to give them some herbs and some nutrients because the breakdown isn't something I can fix, or I can have them, you know, give them the structure or the environment to fix. Maybe, you know, they're missing, their ovaries are gone. They're, you know, they don't have their ovaries. So I've got to give them some support, right? But if I know that, if somebody comes in and doesn't give me that history and I don't know that their ovary was taken out when they were 10 because of a cyst, because they forgot to tell me because it was so long ago, right? Or when they were born. So those are the things, that's why we dig, right? We want to find the root cause so then we could either know, oh, well, we can't really correct that. So the Band-Aid's going to go on forever, which is fine. The safest Band-Aid possible, the safest life preserver possible. But then we want to go, oh, this is reversible. It may take years to really repair this. Okay, good. We're going to work on it. Here's your Band-Aid. Here's your life preserver. Let's keep you going. And we're going to work on the root cause. And then you get the people who don't want to work on the root cause. And then I think our job is not necessarily to convince them, although that would be good, but to just allow them to know the downside of just doing the Band-Aid. To know that I'm going to give you these great herbs and they will suppress your hot flashes, but the cause of your hot flashes is this. So if you're not willing to work on it, I can just say that these might work for a while and then they might stop working because you're not fixing the underlying cause. And if I can be really upfront with people and explain that to them so they get it. A lot of them just go, oh, I never knew that before. Let's work on it. Okay, I'm willing to work on it right now. So, and it's not about fear and gloom and doom. It's a matter of here's how your body's working. And without those numbers, we can only guess, right? We can only guess. And it's okay to guess sometimes, right? Because sometimes, like with some of them, you just like get them to do a complete overhaul on their diet and they meditate and they move and you don't have to know. You don't have to do the test. And I'm a big fan of saving money. So I'm not a big fan of the person walks in the door and I right away say, okay, we need these 15 tests. I look at what? The obstacles, the lifestyle, the diet, what things I'm guessing are out of balance based on what they've been doing. Work on them for 3 months to get there. And then we could go, okay, what tests do we have to do? Right? Very different from the person who walks in and says, I'm on a gluten-free diet. I'm drinking greens every day. I did a gut repair. I did a liver repair. I'm eating only organic foods. I'm moving. I'm like, what's going on? Why is this not working?
Right.
Then I'm running a bunch of tests because they've already done the hard work. But, you know, 90% or more of the people that are out there are not doing the work. Right. And it's real easy to, tell us.
But the other piece to that is they're doing the work. They're doing all these physical pieces. They still may have that little tape playing in the back of their brain.
Exactly. That's why I said we're going through all of it. And there may be somebody who has gone through all of it. A lot of times it's not, but it's something like that. It's the belief system. Right. Like Jane told the story, I think it was yesterday on our practice accelerator call about working with somebody in the ERC program who had a specific pain for like 20 years. And they worked through something and found this emotional thing. And they worked through that. And she suddenly went, they weren't focusing on her finger pain, right? My finger pain is completely gone. It was some emotional energetic block. So that's why we need to look at the whole picture. The whole picture. So I'm off on my soapbox again. Don't get me started. Right.
Yes, keep you started.
Yeah. So good. Thank you for bringing that up. It doesn't take much to get me off on my soapbox. So.
I actually was, if it's okay, I wanted to share something with you. What I'd done with the thyroid scale diagram.
Ooh.
How do I share? I just do it on here.
Share screen? Yeah, just hit share screen at the bottom.
So what you're going to see is a history of mine, right?
It's
a
history. Wow.
So here, what I've done is I color coded it so I can see easier. So
The bars, and that's the ideal. Good.
Any results going in red, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then this is 2015, and then we're going to go along the ages, and you can just see by looking at the reds what's happened, right?
Oh, they're coming together. Whoops, and that went up way up there. That's when you did that, had that.
Yeah, that, yes. So then, but you can see because I'm looking and I'm thinking, oh, well, they came together there, but they were at minus six and now they're, at minus three and minus four and, you know, and gradually it gets better.
Mm.
And it was helpful for me anyway to look at this.
But it's still up there at five. In the five, so that it's still an issue here, right? I mean,
well, actually, these ones, I don't know, something happened with these, but I did have another three in there, and they actually did come together.
They did come together. Cool.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that, being able to graphically just see and just be able to show somebody. They may not understand the whole concept, but they start to see their numbers starting to converge closer to the middle. Yeah.
Because now they're in the minus one.
Okay. Right?
So Yeah, I don't have it on this particular one, but I just wanted to show you that just to give you an idea.
I like it.
And
I like it. So just a slight color thing. Maybe we can get somebody to color shift the original one because that makes it does make it a lot easier to see. Mm-hmm. And then I love that. And then putting them in red makes a whole lot of sense. Thank you for sharing that. I love it. I love picking up new things that we can run with. Thank you. So I see some other people got the messages. They're on the call. Susan and Valerie and Susan and 858 and Isabel. So any questions, comments, cases you want to share, successful cases? I know a lot of times we bring problems and we want to solve them, but I'd love to hear like a novel approach that you took with somebody and had some great success with, or just taking the protocols and what we teach and having success with people. And Lynn is having an ethereal experience over there. So the angels are just beaming on her.
I actually want to ask a quick question. Sure. When can we present case studies? Do we do that on open coach calls or what happens?
You mean presenting like one for credit for your, So I would say on the code, in general, I would like to plan it on the case study call. So you say, I have this case and then you're going to present it. Because a lot of times you come to the calls and I'm helping people. But if you come and you present it, kind of like Jan did that one time, you know, just like boom, boom, boom. You can do it then because we have more time. If that's not going to work because you're looking and going, I can't make any of these for the next 3 months, just arrange it with Lynn and let her know that, you know, we're going to try to do it on a different call and she'll make sure I have enough advance notice that we'll just do it then. Okay. And then we'll record it for you. We'll stop the recording, start the recording so you can have your own recording of you doing it, you know, for your records and you'll be done. That'll be great.
And also you said that was, and I don't know where this went, when Jan did hers, she said that there was going to be a template available.
I think, yeah, did she?
Yeah, it's there.
Is it on the FNC page or is it on the general page?
No, it's on the general page, which right now isn't completely available for everybody, but because we're having tech issues.
We've got some gremlins that attacked our site.
Well, you're not the only one. I have an event I'm doing next week. I sent out an email. I had my Facebook posts and so forth with it. And I woke up this morning to check and it said 5 people had signed up. And I'm like, that's a little strange. So I went to my active campaign email and they're like, all these people who clicked on it, they're just not showing up in ClickFunnels.
Oh, no.
And now you can't even sign up from the link that's in the email. So...
It's not Mercury retrograde this
time? No, but it's a new moon. Okay. Tell me, oh angel of light, what is my direction?
Well, you know what? All these things that happen, I think it just is more and more us being given these minor, obviously minor imbalances and problems compared to what else goes on in the world. And really, I think we just need to keep getting reminders to stay present and focused and to breathe and
allow. I'm just, you know, when people ask me about it, I'm like, oh, this is what's going on. It will pass.
I have with it, with keeping calm with all this stuff is I feel like I'm letting people down. And I'm
exactly
here, right? And you're going to feel this way with your clients too. I feel like I've gotten this calls here and then suddenly things don't go out and you don't get a reminder and I'm here by myself and then Tony joined and then, you know what I'm saying? So, and I feel like we let you down because we didn't do that and it was out of our control. I mean, we obviously didn't do it deliberately, but a lot of folks don't get that. And that's what I love this community because we all care about each other. There are some people who come back and say, well, you know, you're blah, blah, and this and that. And they complain as if we could do something about it. And I think we all just need to give everybody the benefit of the doubt when we're working with them. Except Big Pharma. Well, that's different. But Monsanto, I'm done with giving them the benefit of the doubt. They just blanket outright, don't care about anything but profits. Done. You know, but for the most part, like if you're taking a program or a class or you go to something and somebody got the date wrong or time wrong or the technology fails, it's to just all just be loving and forgiving with each other about what's going on. And we need to teach that to our clients, because so much of why they're sick is that constant, persistent stress that they're seeing. They're always seeing the glass half full instead of, or glass half empty, sorry, instead of half full. So coming back to gratitude. So I have a lot of gratitude for all of you and all the work you're doing in the world. And the more I see it and hear it, I just like, I'm so moved and so touched that we are making a difference. We've taken on a big mission. And every little step we take in that direction creates the demand for better care. Like people go, wow, I don't want that. I want what you're giving. Oh, I went to this naturopath over there and all they did was run some blood and tell me what supplements to take. That's not what I want. I want what you have. I want what you're giving because I want to really be part of my care. And the more we do that, the more we're creating a demand that people are maybe not in our lifetime, maybe not, it's going to be a momentum and a wave that people are going, this is unacceptable that all we do with our healthcare system is give us pills to suppress symptoms of disease. And the more we do that, the more it is going to change. And quite frankly, I mean, you've been in it a long time, Sequoia, as well. Like, there's a huge shift in the consciousness of people and what they want and that they're tired of this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I am so pleased to see how much more aware people have become, mm-hmm. especially in the last few years. It's yes. noticeable. And I'm like, whoa, finally. There's still a lot of people got their head buried in the sand, but
yeah.
There's definitely an increase, and the increase is exponential, which is fantastic.
Yep.
And I think, you know, I think some of it certainly has to do with the shows like, you know, The Truth About Cancer, mm-hmm. All the different
summits and educational
summits, documentaries, the one that Tom O'Brien put on, the other one about Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Basically, at the root, they're all giving the same message.
That's right.
And so I try to encourage as many people as possible to get into this. And what I love is now they've put on The Truth About Pet Cancer. I'm like,
oh, that pet cancer, really?
It's running right now. And it's the thing I like about it, well, they're shorter episodes, but the thing I like about it is that it's telling you everything you need to know about yourself as a human being.
Yep.
And so I just want them to watch it. And at the end, I'll say, now you can apply all that to
you. Apply that to you.
Because people are more apt. There's another huge area of the population who are going to want to watch this, but who would never watch any of the other ones, right?
Yeah, because they go for their pet. It's their pet, right.
Great, I love it.
You know, it's interesting because my sister-in-law years ago, she had this one breed of pet, of dog that they loved, but they tended to get this particular kind of cancer, big dogs. I forget what they're, Bernese Mountain Dogs, I think. And they had this particular cancer and they always died at age 8 or so. And it was heartbreaking for them. So she started researching and she actually was buying organic, fresh meat, cooking vegetables, chopping it up, mixing it in with the meat and serving it to the dog. And then they'd sit down and eat pizza. And her kids would be eating pizza and Chinese food. And I was like, but you did all this, but this dog needs it. It has a tendency to get this. But I'm like, your children need it. Your children need it. You've got to take the habits, take everything you learned about taking care of your dog and apply it to your kids. Yeah, they don't need raw meat, but they need organic vegetables. They don't need pizza. And they just didn't get that.
Well, yeah, but the reason they didn't get it was because there's this, you know, these other little entities inside of them that are controlling and, you know, and they're addicted, right? So
right.
That, the two things, the little parasites that have a mind of their own. I mean, I don't know if you've read that one, yes. Your Brain on Parasites. It's a great book.
Is that a good one? Okay.
Yeah, it's a great book because, you know, it just tells you everything that we already know that, you know, the parasites are basically ruling.
Which book is that?
Your brain on parasites.
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting because for about a year, I've had all the stuff to do a particular type of cleanse which gets rid of which helps to break down some of the biofilms to release them. And I kept getting, no, it's not time, it's not time, it's not time. I've got everything I need in there. I'm like, okay, finally it's time. And all I can see coming out now, it's just amazing. First of all, I just kind of feel woozy. I feel it's almost like a wave is going through me. And I know that's the release of whatever, you know, they don't like it. They don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And what there's all these castings coming out.
Mm.
It is amazing to watch. And I know that's all it is. It's just, you know, taking three things and that was it.
But you waited for the right time, right? You didn't do it.
And I also test. I waited for the right time because I always test. I wait for the right time. I was kind of impatient because I've been waiting for a whole year for this. I keep testing every month and it keeps saying no. So I was quite.
How do you test? Are you testing with a
self-test? You know, just self-testing, muscle testing.
Muscle testing.
Yeah. So now I've waited. I get much better result because I've waited, right? Yeah. And I can feel the difference. I'm not attracted to that anymore. Isn't that interesting? I have to get out three times a day to go for a hike up the hill. It's, you know, whereas before it was, mm-hmm. I don't really feel like doing this.
Yeah, awesome.
And I know that's the change. The change is simply from that.
Yeah, you bring up it's a great point. And the timing thing I want to just jump into, because so many times people rush into things and they go too fast with things and then they feel worse and it sets them back. So how do we teach our patients, our clients, the patients that they need? Like, yes, you need this, but you jumped into it too quickly. Let's do this other stuff first. And then we'll just keep asking your body. Because a lot of them are like, you know, right? They won't just want to jump into it. We start our programs with, let's get in touch with your why. And a lot of them are like, I just want to know what herbs to take. You know, I just want to know what supplements I should take. What is this stuff? Like, but you're not going to stick to whatever I teach you to do unless you're really committed and there's got to be you in touch with this why. But they don't, you know, they're impatient. So do you have, or anybody, I'd love to have that discussion, tips? Like what's worked for everybody to try to get them to be more patient?
Okay, I know for myself, I always explain when I first see them. Now, it's more difficult, I think, in a program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless they're coming and listening to your every word, right? But I always explain, okay, so it's, you know, you're 55 now. It's taken all these years to get there. And the body, everybody's different, you know, and they want your body wants to do things in a specific order. We don't know what that order is yet, but we're going to find out.
Mm.
And you need to be patient. And I'll tell them ahead of time, you know, this might take a few years.
Mm.
So I said, you know, I tell them at the beginning, you might make some big gains in quickly in some areas, but it might, for other areas, it may take several years.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you that upfront. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm priming them. I'm letting them know that, you know, they're going to feel better, but it may take a little while and it may not be in the first in their priority area either. Yeah,
that's right.
So I'm quite, so that along with education, a lot of education, I find if they know the whys and the where first,
right.
And also very aware that people, especially if they've got chronic fatigue, which most people that come to us have got some kind of fatigue.
Some kind of, right.
So if they have that fatigue going on, that they can only take a very little bit of information in at a time.
Yeah.
So it's not unusual to repeat things 30 times to somebody before they get it. And to know that, and I let them know that too. I said, it's not you, you're not, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. This is normal.
Mm.
It's not normal, but it's normal for somebody who's not been well, right?
Right. Right, that inability to grasp it right away.
So a lot of explanation, I find the more they understand about the why they're doing things and the why that they need to wait to do something else, the easier it is for them to be on board.
Yeah, yeah, great. Yeah, so that's exactly my feeling about it. I tell people all the time, if you don't really understand the why, you're going to do it for a little bit, but if you don't see results right away, you're going to give up. Because people say, well, I tried that. You ever get that, right? well, I tried this and I tried that and I tried this and I tried that. And you say, oh, wow, you've tried a lot of things. Tell me a little bit more. How long did you do this for? Well, I stayed off of gluten for 2 whole weeks and I didn't notice a difference at all. Or I took that, whatever, phosphatidylserine for, you know, 3 days and I still wasn't sleeping. So, right, I gave up on it and they want to jump, right? And I was just sharing on a call right before this, I had a quarterly check-in with one of the Gold Pluses. And we focused in on her last 90 days and what's her goals for the next 90 days. And she was like juiced when she left the call. We didn't talk about health and nutrition except how that was a means goal. Because she says, so now I should set my goal to be something like, you know, I'm going to do a half an hour of fitness every day. I said, okay, and what's that going to do for you? How happy are you going to feel about that? Well, that's not, you know, why do you want to do that? Well, why do I want to do that is so that I have the energy to write my book. And okay, why do you want to write my book? Because I want to leave a legacy. And then she started juicing up. And I'm like, these health things we're teaching you, those aren't your goals. Those are not your goals. Your goal is not to drink a green smoothie a day. At the end of your life, do you want somebody on your grave to write, she was so good, she exercised a half hour a day and she drank green smoothies every day? No, but you want to say, but her book inspired me. She left a legacy. She helped other people. You know, that's the stuff you want to be remembered for, right? And she's like, oh, she's like getting into it. But what we started with was if you don't have that destination out there, you're just meandering. I'll go this way. I'll try this. But you don't know where you're going, so you never get there. So we talked a lot about that, and it just so inspired her to go, oh, that's why I want to sleep. That's why I want to eat well and not eat junk before I go to bed. So I can wake up the next day and I can be alert to write my book because that's what I really want to do. And it just got her so juiced that whatever I was going to tell her to do nutritionally or lifestyle-wise, she was on board with. And Tony, I know you work a lot with this, so chime in anytime. It's like if we don't get them on board with it, then it's just drudgery to drink their green smoothie or to go exercise, right?
I agree wholeheartedly. But I also think just like we look at everybody individually from a clinical point of view, we also have to look at people individually from a mindset, emotional, spiritual. And that requires connection. That requires some time.
Yes.
Some people are going to tell you who they are right away and others aren't.
That's right.
So I take as much time as I need to, you know, while we're working on some of the smaller things to get to know people.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not a one size fits all and
no.
see what happens. So I take the same approach on the, like I said, emotional, mental, spiritual side that we would take on the clinical side. We start digging, you know,
yeah.
We ask questions. Are we curious?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's holding you back? Because it's a huge one that's holding people back. And actually, in the process of doing this, we discovered a belief that she took on when she was a small kid, like between 6 and 8, that because I just said to her, what is it about you shining your light in the world that scares you so much? Mm-hmm. And she was like, and then she went back to remembering when she was little, how she would like, look what I did and look what I made. And she was like, stop bragging is what she was told. Stop bragging. You think you're a know-it-all. So she retreated and was afraid to do it. So now just that one session, which I'm doing with all the Golds quarterly, yeah. You know, where are you at? What's holding you back? How are we going to keep you going? It's just amazing. The Gold Pluses actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, I did want to share something. I know that we talked about the paradigm shift and things happening since What the Health came out. And I think Isabel attended it. Yesterday, I did a webinar, Eat Clean and Go Vegan. 206 people signed up. I could only get 100 in because of the shift, because they saw the movie. And it was really engaging and interactive, and people were really, really interested in the subject now. Because if I had done that 5 years ago, you know, crickets, you know. Yeah. Well, I've got people that already do it, you know. But they ask some really, really good questions. The understanding, the awareness was already raised because of What the Health, and because Dr. Ruby Lathan, who I work with, she was in that documentary.
Oh.
And so a lot of that groundwork was done. So it was it wasn't so much a pushing as much it was, well, we're going to continue to raise your awareness and take it to the next level.
Nice.
So I enjoyed it so much. I was so happy.
That webinar. And how did you make them some offer to give them an opportunity to work further with you?
Oh, absolutely. We developed I developed a going vegan program that has recipes and suggested meal plans. And we have, it's not like a group call where it's a stated beginning and end. It's kind of a flowing call schedule that we have. So every 2 weeks, no matter where you are, if you buy the day and you start the day, you'll always have an opportunity to connect with us. So, and just, you know, other stuff, frequently asked questions, you know, the usual stuff, where do you get your protein from, da, 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 da. Nutrient assessment chart, because I know, there are junk food vegans out there and we had a few on the call. So we wanted them to see, that may be some deficiencies or insufficiencies. And so you might want to eat a little bit of whole foods yourself. So it was fun. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I really did.
Yeah. Did you get some folks that said yes?
Yeah, I mean, for, and we still haven't done the replay yet. So, it's still coming in. I think we got 15 to sign up.
Nice. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're super excited. So,
so excited for you.
It was fun. So, yeah. And then I do have, unless there's somebody else wants to comment, I do have a case I want to talk about, sort of.
Sure, go ahead. And anybody else that wants to share, just type it into the chat that, yes, I want to share something or I have a question, or just put your hand up. Just put your hand up and we'll go. So we'll go for Tony and then anybody else who raises your hand.
Okay. Great. I don't want to monopolize. So, you know, I'm the thyroid lady by default. I don't know
how it happened, but...
A lady came to me and she had her thyroid removed because of cancer. Mm. It's unfortunate because she's so young. She's only 38 years old and, she's supplementing obviously, you know, for thyroid medicine, for better quality of life. But she says that her TSH goes up and down and she wants something stable. And I said, well, what are your doctors doing? And she said, I have difficulty getting thyroid medication proper because I think my doctor just is treating me based on his ability to be paid by insurance or by the insurance company. Mm-hmm. She's that aware. And so, of course, I told her, you know, thyroid's gone, but I can't replace that, but I can certainly look at, you know, the thyroid panel and see what else might be going on. But what I liked was, I shouldn't say what I like. What I'm realizing is, as I was going around talking to her about, you know, her body and what she's eating and everything, and she's showing signs of some blood sugar dysregulation, some gut issues that were probably around way before this thyroid issue came up. So instead of focusing on the thyroid, I said, we're going to focus on getting you well, like you teach us from the ground up. You know, let's work and see what's happening. And, you know, in the meantime, you know, things, you know, as far as that, the imbalance in her medication, obviously I'm not qualified to do that.
You're not qualified to look at the medication, but you're qualified to look at the end results on the labs to see if on just T4 and the T3s are low, then we have a conversion issue. Whether she's got a thyroid or not, the thyroid conversion happens 75% outside the thyroid. So you're focusing on the gut, the liver, the blood sugar, super important.
Yeah, so I'm excited. Thank you for saying that. I'm excited to work with her. I'm glad I did ask for the panel because they don't run. I mean, this woman has had her thyroid removed in 2001 and they won't do panels on her, full panel. They just do TSH. Really?
Is she on T4? Is she on armor or since?
She said, I mean, like, look at my notes because she leveled thyroxine.
Yeah, so she's on T4. Hmm? Right? So her TSH could be going up because of the levels of T3 aren't going up, or she might not be on the right amount, or she has resistance. There's so many reasons.
So maybe
Hashimoto's, because you know what? When they remove the thyroid, there's still the TSH that can be attacked, right?
I actually thought about that. I thought even autoimmune, you know, the body is still in a weakened state, is still being attacked, you know, just maybe other organs at risk too. And I'm thinking that's why some of her other hormonal families are starting to fall down.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I'm on the right track. Okay.
Make sure, you know, the antibodies are super important.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Whether they have, people say, oh, I don't have a thyroid. Why are you bothering to measure my antibodies? Well, because your antibodies are attacking and they're attacking more than just, they attack the hormone itself.
Yeah. And I think that's the fight is going to be with this doctor, and I'm going to, what I always like to do with my thyroid clients is give them enough information that they feel empowered so they can demand what they're entitled to.
Good. Yep. Perfect. That's exactly right.
Well, thank you for listening.
Totally. Amazing the stuff that we can do with the just with the understanding of how the body works. I'm excited about that.
Absolutely.
So Valerie, water fasting and intermittent fasting, some of my favorite topics. So hi, Valerie.
Hi. I listened to as much of the Truth About Cancer live event as I could, which covered a good bit of it. And that came up a lot in there. And I think I'm finally emotionally ready to consider it. but I had lots of questions that came to my mind. I was wishing you were there so I could go, hey, Dr. Rita Marie, what do you think about this? one of the questions I'd like to get some advice on how to get started and, you know, different approaches just to get started. But I'm also wondering what happens in a longer term water fast to the microbiome if you're not eating anything that feeds it.
Okay, so that's a good question. It could definitely get disrupted, but here's the thing. I think the benefits in many people, if not most people, outweigh the risk. So anything that we do with working with somebody is, so that's therapeutic like that versus long-term maintenance type work, is going to have the two sides, right? And you have to weigh it out. So that's a possibility. I mean, you can certainly do enemas, and you can certainly, you probably don't want to take them orally because who knows if they're going to get implanted, but you can always maintain microbiome with trying to do some enemas and trying to do some, you know, probiotic enemas or probiotic suppositories if you're real concerned. But a lot of times what really happens is we get just the pathogens go away. And then post-fast, then you work at restoring it, the good stuff, because now you've got the pathogens out there. So somebody had said to me, you know, they had done some kind of procedure and they had to put them on antibiotics. And she almost felt like, you know, okay, so I have to go on this. I have to have the surgery done. I'm just going to deal with it. And I'm going to put in my mind that, great, they're going to wipe out my whole microbiome and I'm going to start all over again. Which, I mean, they're not going to wipe out the whole thing. But, you know, I don't think we really know 100%, but yes, it could be decreased and changed. But what I've seen and what I experienced is that it's for the better, usually. Right? But if not, and there's some issues, then you can always do some supplementation. Tony, did you have something? I saw you.
Oh, no, I'm like you. I've done a lot of water fast, assisted and unassisted. And that's a really good question. I have to tell you that the benefits for me definitely outweighed, you know, the potential damage. I will say the first water fast I did not restore, and it didn't take long for the bad guys to take over, and I ended up like bloated. I mean, it was crazy. But you know, you have to be, I recognized after that I had to be very aggressive with reloading the good guys, because the bad guys, I mean, they're just like, we're back.
Yeah, but once you start eating and you start feeding them again, right, then they're back.
Yeah.
Right. So being careful about that. And how did you restore? Did you use probiotics? Did you use sauerkrauts? Did you use kefir? What did you use?
So for me, the supplements weren't enough. It had to be in food form. So I had to make my own yogurts and really double dose and do all that kind of stuff just to make sure things got colonized pretty quickly.
Yep.
Because it's always a crapshoot, at least for me, with stomach acid, you know, where the things are going to go where they're supposed to go. So. But that's my contribution. Thanks for letting me add.
No, thank you. That's great. Super.
I was wondering how long of a water fast did you do on that first one?
I did 7 days, but I've done longer. But that was my first experience with it, and it was really, really beneficial. I mean, I had a lot of inflammation, because at that point I was vegetarian, but I was still not as clean as I should have been. The pathogens were coming. I could tell things were coming out. And I thought, oh, cool. All right. It's day 8. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to get back into it slowly. And I did. And I started eating food, not heavy food. And then the bloating began. I was like, wow. Even with, you know, doing some probiotics, it wasn't enough. It wasn't just like, here, let me take probiotic and see what happens. Because I didn't have the knowledge that I have now. You know, that I had to really heavily colonize to give the good guys a chance to, you know, keep the bad guys in check.
So I wonder about, because I've never done this personally myself during a water fast. I've done several sevens and fives and tens, but my longest one was 28. And I didn't do anything through that. That was at a place, and I just drank water the whole time. There was absolutely no supplementation and no enemas and no nothing. I wonder if doing those implants, enema implants or suppository implants of probiotics throughout a fast could help prevent some of that.
That sounds awesome to me. I would highly recommend it because it doesn't disrupt what's happening, you know, in your body, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On the rooter side, but the tutor side. So yeah.
Right? Yeah. Well, that's where they're going to live anyway. You might as well shortcut them to getting there.
I might experiment with that myself. Mm-hmm. Don't need to do one.
I've been wanting to do one. I think I'm going to do one, you know, after my events and in the mm-hmm. fall, in December probably. But I bought the suppository molds, but I haven't used them yet. Right?
Mm.
And then the enemas, you do a cleansing enema, and then you just do a 4 ounce with a bunch of probiotic in it, and you just put it in and hold it as long as you can. So it's not that hard to do.
What do they feed on, though? That's the thing. How do they stay alive?
What do they feed on? What do you mean?
If you're doing it while you're fasting, they're not getting fed. Are they in a probiotic state? They have prebiotics in the probiotics? Is that?
You could do that, but I think that there's enough action and activity. If you're doing 3 days of fasting, do you really think your colon is empty?
Oh, no, not at all.
So, I mean, there's sloughed off cells. I mean, there's probably, I.
Yeah, I understand.
So you're saying how are they going to colonize? But
that's a good, just curiosity questions.
It's a good question. I mean, prebiotics as well, but I don't know how the prebiotics will work that far down.
I believe that when you fast long enough, it actually puts everything back in balance, the body itself. Mm. But if you're just doing short, 5-7 day fasts, then I would use implants. Mm-hmm. But if you fast long enough, it'll actually all sort itself out.
That's what was my experience, because I was a mess before I went into my fast. I was just a mess. And I'd done a bunch of 5 days before that, and it was great during the fast. And then once I started eating, everything started up again, because I wasn't careful about what I was eating. I didn't know what I know now. But I kind of agree with that. I don't, like, we can't like draw a biochemical pathway and show you why, but experientially, I think that that's where I lie too. I think that it does sort itself out. Been too many great experiences with people doing long-term fasts and getting amazing results. What was your experience with longer fasts, Tony?
I was at True North, and they only let me do 14. I wanted to do 21. Something about weight and whatever. Anyway, but it was a much better experience. I don't know if it was mindset or whatever, and I did it exactly the way they said, and I knew from before to go ahead and front load really high with the probiotics, and it was a great experience. And I did feel, like Sequoia said, that I stayed in balance. I didn't, eat and feel like things were coming up still. Like I felt like I had set a new normal for my body. So yeah, 14 days or more, I think, is the sweet spot, perhaps.
And everybody's going to be a little differently. You got to be careful. I mean, if you're going to a place, they are going to be very careful about someone who's been, because they don't want to run into complications and have you, have a bad experience. I got down to 92 at the end of my 4 week, 28 day fast.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty skinny for a 5'4" person. But I felt like, okay, it's not going to be a problem. I put it back on. So not a problem.
Yeah, well, it was weight too. That was much thinner in those days, and also the iron, my iron was like super duper 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 low. Yeah, so they were like, okay, we'll just monitor. But I appreciate that. I appreciate that a lot. So anyway,
so
I know that on the Edward Group offered to pass his slides along, and
who did?
Edward Group. Edward. He was the one who did the water fasting talk on the truth about cancer live. So you can email him and he will pass the slides along, and if you just ask him for the information on fasting and the slides that he did at the Truth About Cancer Live weekend, then he'll give you the slides and he'll give you some more information. And he's very open about any questions you want to ask him.
That's great. I've heard
him. I actually did that. I sent the email and I got his information. I still got to go through it all. He also recommends an oxygen cleanse, and he's got two things that he recommends that you do before you go into a water fast.
Hmm.
I'm still sorting all that out.
There's so much to learn about it. You know, when I did it, it was just go do it. And Herbert Shelton wrote the book, Go Do It, Just Do It Like That. And there's a couple of good books out that I've recently acquired. They're on my Kindle about fasting, but I'm going to look at, I've looked at Ed Group's, I definitely looked at his site before when I heard him speak. I think it was on The Truth About Cancer that I heard him speak the first time. And I kind of resonated a lot with some of his approaches.
And he's actually going to be writing a book, which he hopes will, about fasting, and with all the research from all the past decades.
Mm.
And he's hoping that'll be out December. So December, January, maybe. That book will be out, and I think it'll be well worth reading because he's basically bringing together all the research.
Great. So do you have the, do you have his email address? Are they still selling the replays? I signed up for it, but I don't remember if I bought replays for it. Did they have replays for it?
The replays of The Truth About Cancer Live?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's already finished. But I did purchase it.
You did. I'm going to find out because I signed up for it, but then I couldn't go to it, and I was hoping to get the replay, but I don't remember. I might have at the time. Usually, if I know I can't do it, I usually sign up. I'll have to check that. Well, if they're not selling them, then I wouldn't feel bad about having you share them with me. But if they're still selling them, I'll just buy them.
That's the, I just put his email address in.
Okay, good. That's in the Hope Center. Okay, good.
So how do you recommend that a total novice get started?
You know what I would recommend you start with? I would just start with a 24-hour fast. You know, the one that's the easiest way to do it. You either eat breakfast and don't eat again till breakfast the next day, or eat dinner and don't eat again till dinner the next day. Lots of water throughout. That's where I would start, because then you get a feel for it, and you don't have to go a whole, you know, overnight and all that kind of stuff. You're eating every day. You're just spreading it out and see how.
Right.
Then I would do that maybe once in a week, and then the next week do it twice, but keep 2 days in between and just see how you feel. And if you're feeling good with that, then you can think about a 3 day, 5 day. I don't like 3 days because 3 days is like you don't feel as good during the first 3 days, and you start to feel really good at day four. So at least you get a couple of days. Sometimes when I've planned I'm going to do a 3 day fast and I get to day three, I'm like, why am I going to eat tomorrow? Tomorrow's when I'm going to start feeling really great. So I'll go to 5 or 7. And one time I did 11 when I was only expected to do 3. So get your body used to it. Slow, low and slow, just a little bit at a time.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah. And then think about, like, what's the fear, right? Because we always want to get into that, what might hold us back. So what are you afraid might happen that might hold you back from trying it?
Probably the feeling of hunger and a headache.
Okay, so headache. Feeling of hunger, you get used to it. That I'm sitting here with the feeling of hunger right now. Feeling of hunger, it's like get comfortable with hunger. And that will teach you how to get comfortable with hunger, right? Because we all want to get rid of that feeling. But sometimes there's some magic that's happening during that feeling, both on an emotional side and on a physical side, you know, increased growth hormone, et cetera. So I would say it's more likely that the headache would be of a concern, right? Because the hunger you can get used to. So have you had situations where you've had a headache from not eating or spreading your meals out too much?
Most of my life, I've kind of been a hypoglycemic type. So that if I didn't eat, I got the headache.
And does the headache just last until you start eating and then it goes away?
It usually gets better with eating, but then it can take a little bit longer to go away.
Okay, so that's a real fear. Okay. You might try doing it, given that. You might try doing your fast. I would recommend the later in the day eating thing, like eat your breakfast, eat your lunch, and then maybe don't eat again until lunch the next day and see how you feel.
Okay.
Because if you tend to, it's the kind of thing where you eat breakfast and then don't eat again, then it's all these awake hours that you have to be up and on that you're not eating. Versus, right. Or even dinner, like do dinner, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then just skip till the next day. And then even if you're concerned about that, let's try it a few times doing just till, you know, skipping the one meal. So have dinner and then skip, or have lunch and then skip dinner and then do breakfast the next day. Just like feel it out to see if there's particular times of day that your body tolerates the lack of food better.
Okay.
Hormonally, you know, you might be digging into better leptin levels and you're burning fat and you're feeling okay. And you might even try just teaching your body to burn more fat. All right. So how many hours between your meals right now?
It varies with my schedule. I've been trying to stretch it out. Last night, because of our call, it ended up being about 8 hours between lunch and dinner, but I had a late dinner because it was after our call.
Okay. So how did you feel? Did you get a headache?
No, I don't think I did, but I was really hungry.
So I would try doing the breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then see how you go, and then just try experimenting till 2 in the afternoon and see, or noon even, first time.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, I can do that. I can keep going. Do you get a warning of the headache coming on?
No, I don't think so.
So just like suddenly there. Anybody, any seasoned fasters that want to comment on the headache issue?
Well, for me, if I could chime in.
Yep.
Sometimes we forget to breathe.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of deep, full breathing because it helps stimulate the lungs. It helps get rid of toxins, you know, through the lungs. And I really focus on breathing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
And
I tend to hold my breath.
You want to make sure you get plenty of hydration.
Exactly. And movement.
Absolutely.
So like rebounding or yoga or something, dry skin brushing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that lymphatic system has to move. It has to be stimulated.
Right.
Yeah, and lots of preparation. I think preparation is very key when you're going to do a fast.
Tell us more about your preparation ideas.
Okay, so it's almost like when you're coming off a fast in reverse. So you would be... Gradually, first of all, if you're a meat eater, you would take that out for at least a month beforehand. Same with fish. So then you would go on, you know, start taking out any of the heavier things, and then lentils, that would start to go. So you just gradually come down until the few days before you're just literally juice fasting. And then you go on to the water fast. So it just makes it a lot easier if your body's prepared. It's not just suddenly going from eating a regular meal to water. And that will greatly reduce, especially if you're doing juicing, green vegetable juices. If you do that for a few days before, that will really help to get some of the toxins out. And so that should feel... stop you from getting that headache.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
That's a good idea. And in the juice, you know, some people do okay with the juice, and some personally, for me, doing juicing is harder than water. So play with that.
Well, you have to figure out for yourself what works. Yeah. But the thing is, just lighten.
And maybe you go from just drinking blended, like Isabel asked about, like liquids, like blended stuff. So you go from doing that to blending soups, and then down to, you know, smoothies and blended soups and then taper that off. That could be a good way to do it too.
I mean, I've been doing hardcore cleanses and fasting for, 30 years. So,
yeah.
I know what works for people, and I've taken people through a lot of them. And I have to say that people in North America are not so keen to do this as they are in the UK. I wonder why that is. But anyway, it's just go gently. The other thing is that's very important is to get yourself mentally set up for it.
Yes.
Like, really have to get yourself mentally set up. This is the date I'm going to start, and make it a few weeks in advance so you can really, okay, now I know when this is starting. I'm going to tell everybody that's when I'm going to start it. I'm going to write this down. I'm going to be doing it then.
Right. Commitment to another person is really key for me. If I just say I'm going to do it, but I don't tell somebody, then I don't end up always doing it. But if I say, hey, Lynn and everybody else, I'm starting a water fast on Friday, damn it, I'm going to do it. Whereas if I just said it to myself and Friday comes along and boy, that, you know, nut pate that my husband made the night before still looks good and I want to finish it first.
Empty your fridge before you do that.
Yeah, that'll be hard. I mean, you don't like most of the stuff your husband eats anyway, right? I mean, he tends to eat more of a Western diet. Is that true? Do you guys?
We're working on it.
Okay. But I'm saying is like he'll have stuff around that wouldn't really be tempting to you. Like if my husband brought home, you know, which he never would, chocolate cream pie, and that was in the refrigerator, and
I would bring that home.
It would not bother me. It would never. It would never even bother me. But if he made this like beautiful, you know, sunflower pate and some, you know, chia crackers, I'd be like, well, I'm going to finish those. Or he bought some of that Kite Hill ricotta cheese or something. I'd be like, oh, I'm going to finish that first and then I'll start my fast. But the chocolate cream pie, ice cream, none of that stuff would bother me. So it's just a matter of like if some of the stuff your husband eats just grosses you out, then it's not an issue, right? But if stuff he eats is like, oh my God, I want that. And it would be helpful to get his support to say, here's the things that you eat that would really bother me during this. Can you hide them so I don't see them during this period, right? And get his support. Or tell him don't buy it, but, you know, because if he hides it and then you get really desperate, you might go looking for it.
Okay, great. Thank you. Lots of good ideas.
Yeah, you're welcome. And you always have support here. So just let us know. You can post it in the NEPT group and say, hey, I'm going to do a 24-hour, you know, I'm just going to start with this intermittent fasting, or I'm going to be tapering off. Just let you know I'm preparing for a fast and, you know, just commit.
Okay.
You know, something else that helped me once at least was Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey. And reading that book, and it's a DVD and all that. It's kind of almost like a program, but it just it made me see that these things that I do are not just nice things, that they help me to be that better person for myself and those around us, that it can bring an enhanced part of myself out. So anything inspirational that you can find like that is, it can help.
Yeah. I tell you, with my fast, I went away. I did a couple of short ones, but I went away to this place because I knew I was going to do a long one. I had serious stuff that I needed to deal with. Plus, I just had surgery for an ectopic pregnancy, and they told me I couldn't go to work for 6 weeks. And I went, oh, good, I'm going to go to this fasting place. So I did. And I didn't do what Sequoia recommended. I had been eating better over time, but I did the last hurrah. I said, okay, after this fast, I'm going to be pristine. I'm going to eat beautifully. And I ate foods I hadn't eaten in a year. I went out and had a fish dinner. I said, after this, I'm never eating animal products again, is what I committed. I said to myself, I'm never eating animal products again after this. So I might as well have this fish. And I hadn't had it in a long time. And then I had ice cream. And I had something else the night before my fast. And then I was like, okay, now I'm going to do the fast. So my first 3 days were tough, right? Because I didn't do that. So your first 3 days will be a lot less tough if you follow what Sequoia said. But okay, that's what I did. Because I knew I had made a commitment to myself. And when I make commitments, I make commitments. And so I'd made a commitment. I read this stuff. I read all about how you were going to transition off of fast and what kind of diet was going to keep me from being toxic after. I made that commitment. And I did it. So I had the last hurrah. Sad. That's what food addicts do.
I did that before I went gluten-free, dairy-free 2.5 years ago.
Did you? Like, okay, I'm going to do this. Then you feel miserable for the next couple of days, and then you're glad you're doing it.
It wasn't too bad because I wasn't fasting, but I did go out and get my favorite kind of cake and ate most of it.
And ate most of it, right?
Yeah.
A pint of ice cream, not a little taste of it, right?
There's one more area that is the time, your timing of the time of year and what the weather's going to be like. Because I don't know where you live.
She's in Houston.
Oh, you're in a warm place, then that's not so bad. But the thing is, you do get quite chilled when you're doing...
That'll be welcome, right, Valerie?
Yes. We finally got down to in the 50s this past week at night.
Still in the 80s during the day.
But you may find yourself that you may need to wrap up more than you normally do. And you can warm your water, you know, to have warm water.
Yeah.
So that's just to forewarn you that you can get a bit chilled when you're...
I remember that. I did it in the summer, and it was in Hollister, California, which is south of San Francisco and Monterey. It's a hot area. And it was perfect. It was like August, July, August, and it was perfect. And but I did get chilled. Put the little blanket on. But I was saying, I went to this place and they had this library of all sorts of tapes at the time, cassette tapes, because that was before CDs and DVDs were even invented. So they had all these tapes I could watch and books I could read, and it was all natural hygiene. So I was reading all these things from Herbert Shelton and Doug Graham and, you know, all these people. And I was just reading all this stuff going, I don't want to go back to my job. I don't want to go back to my job. I want to teach people this stuff. People need, so that's when I made my decision that I was leaving my job, and I came back and I went back to work, and I signed up for an anatomy physiology class at the local community college to see if I even liked it, because I'd never taken anatomy and physiology before in my life. And I took it and I loved it. I mean, it was so phenomenal to me. And I took a nutrition class at the local college, which was kind of gag, but it was at least taught me about the nutrients. And I was like, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. And I proceeded to tell my not yet husband that's what I was planning to do. And he was like, okay. I was like, he signed up to be marrying this career woman making like $55,000 a year as a computer programmer. So that's not shabby back in 1986. And so he was like going from, I'm not marrying this independent woman anymore who I was hoping to have babies with and be the house husband, which is what he had wanted. And now I got to support her through school. And I said, look, I sold my house in New Jersey. I have all this money. I can pay my tuition. You know, I don't need your help with this. I just need your support. And he was amazing, right? Totally amazing. And he let me do it. So I quit my job and I went back to school, and the rest is history.
Wow.
So be prepared for things like if you do a long fast. The reason I said all that was because it was an emotional cleanse as well. So I wrote a lot of forgiveness letters, you know, a lot of apology letters. And that was back in the day before the internet and, you know, all the stuff you could just write to people. So it was more of a letters. Like I physically, and I found them once I was going through my stuff, and I found these letters from people that I had gotten as a result of me writing to them. And it was a very cool experience. But I realized, you know, at that point that health is more than just what you eat. It's your emotional thing too. And fasting does get you in touch with some of that stuff, because food tends to thwart the feelings, right? We get into emotional eating to stuff the feelings, and you're raw. So be prepared for that. And I don't know that you'll get into that at a 3 to 5 day fast, but if you go into anything longer, how was your experience with that at 14 days, Tony? Did you get into some of that raw emotional baggage?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was like crying, and I felt itchy, and unstable and unsteady. And then around day 12 or something, then I had clarity about how I want. I didn't, you know, do anything as I'd already left my job. I think this was kind of an interim thing. But I felt more comfortable and clear about my path. I wasn't so caught up in, I have to know now what I'm going to be. Right. I just knew if I stay on the path, what I'm going to be will be.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, sure. Totally. Because I think it's different perspectives. What about you, Sequoia? The long fasting, did you feel like you got into the emotional?
Well, I mean, I often fast for spiritual reasons because I love the fact that, you know, when you're just juicing or if you're on a lighter diet, you definitely have more spiritual experiences. And I love that aspect. And I was actually just going to say, just warning people, you know, when you go into this, you're going to see some changes in your life, you know, because it does, you're getting rid of all that stuff. And along with that goes all the attachments.
Right.
So, well, depending how long you're doing it for. And so I love that. I love that side where you're much more connected, much more connected.
Yeah.
And to plan accordingly, you know, don't be listening to heavy metal music during that time because that's not going to help. You're probably not even going to feel like that kind of stuff, right? But remember it's something that it's taking you more in the spiritual side of things and to plan for that.
Yeah. I remember it also being, I just lost my train of thought. You said the emotional, the spiritual, it'll come back to me. It'll come back to me. Sorry, it just like blanked. It came, you know, dreams. I had much more vivid dreams. I had so many vivid dreams and I could actually remember them better. And the dreams told me what I needed to do. The dreams told me that I needed to leave my job and start a new career. And that this was my path that I needed to teach people because too many people didn't know this. And too many people were just shoving pills down for their symptoms and weren't aware of all that they could do. And I was also going to say that the reason that fasting isn't for everyone is because not everybody's prepared for that, right? And they break their fast with the idea of just like getting rid of that connection, getting rid of that spiritual connection. Gabriel Cousins talks about it. He talks about eating raw foods. And he said, you know, about 80 to 90% of your 80 to 90% of your diet being raw foods can be very helpful physically. And you don't need to go beyond that unless you want that spiritual piece. And when you're fasting or you're juicing or you're doing an all raw light diet, a healthy all raw diet, you get in touch with these things and you get ungrounded. Right. So you're up in this more ethereal plane and a lot of people can't handle that. They don't know what to do with it and they need some grounding exercises to bring them down from that.
Wow. That's part of that preparation.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
I
know the first time I did one, I was angry.
Mm-hmm.
I was the angry Lynn. Mm-hmm. And so now when I do any type of a fast like that, I warn people. But the last time I did it, I was in a different place. And so it wasn't like that at all. It was actually quite nice. But yeah, so.
I think too, doing the couple of liver cleanses with Jane that I've done kind of helps set that up as well.
Absolutely. So did you notice any difference between the way you were able to handle the longer gaps between meals after the liver cleanse than before?
I think I noticed it more on the first time when I did it.
Mm-hmm.
The second time I didn't seem to notice as much, but I know every cleanse is different.
Right. Right. Because she has you do that almost 24-hour period of liquid only that last day.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, when you start like this, you know, with the gradual transition, get yourself set up with the intermittent fasting, with the 24-hour, figure out which timing works best for you. See how that goes. Do that a few times, and then that will prepare you emotionally and physically a lot better for it.
Yes, I really appreciate everybody's comments and tips today, as I'm going to try this pretty soon.
Good. I'm really glad that you brought it up, because it's a great discussion, and I was thinking we don't even have a module that covers. We have to add a whole module on fasting to the detox portion. Yeah.
Oh, great idea.
Yeah, because I don't have a fasting piece in it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Tony said you got this, Mallory.
I just wanted to
add, thank you.
There's I just put it in the chat here. The Angela Stokes, I don't know if anybody's familiar with Angela Stokes. She was like 300 pounds and she did a juice feast for 90 days, and she did it all, videoed it every day. And it goes through all the, you know, she starts off wanting everything sweet in her juice. Mm-hmm. By the time she gets to the middle, she can't stand anything sweet. She just wants green stuff. but it goes through all the emotional stuff that came up each day.
Nice.
It's quite an interesting video to look at.
Great. Yeah. She did an amazing job, and she's kept it off. She's one of the few people that goes from being very morbidly obese to staying.
Because she did it with juice feasting, she didn't get any flabby skin. It all tightened up.
That's great.
Yeah. Great. I have that juice feasting program. Gosh, what is this?
Hers? Because I know somebody else does one. Jay Raina Shack.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who I have.
Yeah.
I've got his.
I wonder if they're different, because his has a lot. His actually is an easier program to follow than a typical fast, because he includes the fatty acids. So when you include fat, and that's another transition way, I'll talk about that in a minute. But he includes that, and he includes some supplements in there. So he's trying to keep you from losing it. For me, I find it easier to do water than juice, because what happens with me is once my body gets used to no calories coming in, I'm a great ketone burner and I feel phenomenal. I can actually get into ketosis with the 24-hour fast now, because I know I'm in ketosis because my blood sugar is 45 and I'm feeling like on top of the world. So if that's not ketosis, you know, it's not the strips, which I did buy but haven't tested yet. So I know that that's true, because most people would say 45, holy cow, if my blood sugar dips below 70, I'm like a mess. But it's teaching your body to get into fat burning, and that allows you to do that. But with juice, I find that it keeps me in blood sugar. If I just do a juice cleanse, my blood sugar stays in the 75 to 85 fasting, and it'll go up to like, you know, 90 to 100. So I'm never getting into ketosis, and that to me is the beauty of water fasting, is that you get into ketosis, your brain gets clear, you're burning all this stored fat efficiently, you're not burning muscle as much. People, as you know, much to common surprise, somebody who's heavier, of course, is going to have a lot easier time, because there's more fat stores to burn and you're going to burn less muscle. And you don't burn as much muscle unless you're very thin and then you don't have any fat left to burn. Then that's why probably at True North, they said to Tony, no more than 14 days, because we don't want her to go into risking burning muscle. I had plenty of fat. When I got to 92, I had no fat. But it kind of slows you down when you get closer to that, knowing I started at 115. I went down pretty quickly in the first few days, and then it stabilized. So my body was burning the fat more efficiently. So your energy goes way down. So that's something to know. You think you're on top of the world. You're laying in bed. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go weightlift. I'm going to go walk. And then you go, I think I'll just go lay down again. Because it's this great mental energy and great mental clarity. But your body goes into slow down mode. If you were to do blood testing during a fast, you'd probably see a very low free T3 and a high reverse T3. Because your body is putting on the brakes to your metabolism so that you don't deteriorate, right? So you don't have the energy to do as much. So those are all the physiologic things, and I'll be curious to see if some of the science that shows up in some of these books that are out there supports that, but that's my guess. And here's another thing. Don't go get a blood test done right after it and have your cholesterol tested, because your cholesterol goes up. Your cholesterol actually goes up until you start to eat again, then it goes whoop. and I don't know about 28 because I didn't test it there, but I one time, you know, shortly after I did the fast, it was probably 6 months after, I decided to do a 3-day fast, you know, as a jumpstart booster. And I was getting some blood tests done, and I went in, and they called me into the office in panic mode because my cholesterol was like 275. And they're like, what? 275? I said, you made a mistake. That's not me. My cholesterol is probably 150 at the most. I've never had that. That's a mistake. You mixed up the lab. So they went and did it again, and it was normal. It was whatever, 150. And it turned out, so I started researching, and I'm like, I wonder if it was the fasting, right? And I just started researching and went, oops, they didn't make a mistake. It was me. So.
Yeah. His program does include water fasting. It is a 90-day one, and he doesn't necessarily say day one have this juice, day two have this juice. He actually is more like you in that respect. It's like, here are the foods, make your juice, whatever you want. And but he has like a rhythm, and it's like on day 14 or something, here, now we'll start looking at doing a parasite cleanse, and it has kind of that cycle. So
that's interesting. That sounds interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thank you.
Thank you,
everybody.
Isabel has a question that we may have skipped over.
I think we covered it, right? Do you recommend a juice liquid fast before trying water?
No, she said she had a question on iodine loading.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, she has a question. I didn't see that. Oh, okay. Yeah, go for it. Hi.
Oh, cute haircut. Is that a haircut? Oh, that's so cute.
Your hair looks great. I like it. Unmute from your end because you're unmuted, but there maybe your mic. I heard some. No? No, we're not hearing you. Darn. Yeah, I like the haircut. It's cute. Oh, is that it?
Try again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a little bubbly, but yeah, I think I can hear you better. Sounds like water.
Oh. What about there? Now?
Now it's perfect.
Oh, okay, good. Perfect, good.
Yay.
Okay. Yay! I was on Tony's call yesterday. It was wonderful. It was great. She and Dr. Ruby, like, great information, easy to relate, and very, very, very generous offer.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I have a question on iodine loading.
Yep.
So I did my iodine loading test, and it came back that I have bromine.
I'm gonna pull yours up because did you get my email that I responded?
Yeah. Was it? I wasn't sure it was you or.
No, it was me. I'll show it to you.
Okay.
Screen. So you had an interesting breakdown, but it's definitely bromine toxicity. Let me find it in my inbox. Let's see, Isabel. Oh, I think I moved it to the folder over here because I responded. Let me see. Okay, so here we go. Isabel, here we go. Is that the one where it's attached? Oh, so Scott, I didn't know if it was you or somebody else because he said the person listed was 76.
Oh, no, I probably put in the wrong number. Maybe I did that or the lab did it. So.
Okay. Oh, darn it. I hate email. It just like loses my things.
Or let me see.
I saved it into this folder and now it's not here. And this happens to me a lot. Maybe it's in different order. No. Darn. Can you put it on your
screen? Yeah. Let me see. GIFX. I'm trying to see if I downloaded.
Oh, let me see if he saved it to a folder for you. Would he have saved it in the...
Let me check my email.
Clients, NEPT. Okay. Isabel. Nope, I just see your labs for your kids, so.
Okay, let me see. I should. No, that's doctor's data. Oh, here.
Isabel.
Here, I'm going to open it up. I found it.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, it is this one. Okay. So.
Find it?
Yeah, I found it. Let me share my screen.
Okay. Okay.
You see it?
Yep. Let's make it. Can you make it bigger at all? Like put fire so we can see it.
Oh yeah. Okay. Is that better?
Uh-huh. A little bit better. You could do it a little bit bigger. Okay. So yeah, perfect. Now I can.
Okay.
See it. Does everybody see it? Yeah. Okay.
Yes, so, no problem.
No problem. Good. So you have your pre, which, you know, it's 0.077, which is on the low side. So there's very little iron there, iodine to begin with. So that's a clue, but it doesn't really say a lot. But then your post is, the percentage is 68%, 65%. I can't read it real well, but
yeah, 68%.
Right? 68%. So you take a 50 milligram dose. And we expect that you're going to excrete at least 90%. Because if you don't excrete at least 90%. And you excreted 68%. So if you look at 50, we would have expected you to have excreted, the amount that you would have excreted would have been 45, right? But you excreted 30. Right. So we would have expected 45. You excreted 30, you know, and you have to calculate it out. But anyway, they calculate it on percentage at 68%. So that says to me that your iodine is low, especially given that your spot test was low and you're hanging on to it. Your body's going, yes, yes, yes. Suck this up. Soak it up. When you look at bromide is high to begin with, 9.1. Right. Mm. So you've got a lot of bromide. It does show that you didn't actually excrete more of the bromide after, which is kind of interesting.
Mm.
Usually when somebody's high in bromine, I see them excreting even more when they take the iodine load dose. So, to me, I mean, normally I go, oh yeah, let's just get you on 50 milligrams. We'll ease you up to it so that you don't overwhelm your system and then take that for a while. You may actually need more than that to actually promote this bromine, but there's other things that can promote it. And it's in the thyroid module. We talk about it, but, what I look at is, so we want to get you to get the iodine in. So it starts displacing the bromine. Let me look at the other two, for example.
Okay. So let me scroll down
and scroll down a little. Okay. So it's just fluoride. And then the creatinine, you're finding that. We look at creatinine just because that will tell us if the urine volume is appropriate. We expect to see creatinine in a certain range. And if it's too high, then we know that your sample was too concentrated. If it's too low, then we know your sample was too dilute and we may not have gotten a good reading on some of the numbers because there was too much liquid diluting it. So I would say, you know, where I would go with this is that you're going to need to do a bromine detox. Typically when you do a bromine detox, you do high dose iodine. Again, you build up to it. And then
what's the maximum, like to start with, the minimum to start and then to build up to?
Whether you want to take it, if you want to take it in capsules, like you took that one, the smallest they make those in is 12.5.
12.5, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that you are doing the iodine and the potassium iodide, not just the iodine, because there's some out there. And I was researching that for somebody because they had just an iodine and I looked up that brand and I looked at it comparison and I read a couple of people's comments. Of course, you have to just, you know, take those with a grain of salt saying, well, I tried this, whatever it was, supplement and I didn't feel much better. And then I switched to the Lugol's and oh my God, it was like night and day. So Lugol's is the liquid form of iodorol, which is what they gave you a capsule of to take during the test. So in super sensitive people, I get them to get the Lugol's definitely because 12.5 might even be too much to start with. Mm. So I just start them with little doses and gradually increase it. What can happen, and I'm going to ask you this question, and I always ask people this question when I'm reading their iodine tests, is how did you feel that day? Did you feel the same as usual? Did you feel better? Did you feel worse? Any noticeable shift in how you were feeling?
No, nothing. I didn't really notice anything. And, yeah.
Now, in people who are quite sick, we will notice that they will say, I've had people say, oh my God, I felt so amazing the day I took that test. I'm like, okay, that's because maybe you provided a lot more iodine for your thyroid and you started to have more energy. Other people say, oh my God, I took that test and it was achy and I had headaches and I had muscle aches, typical detox type symptoms. Because for them, the bromine excretion or basically the detox that level of iodine would cause exceeded their body's ability to handle it. And it turned out that the people that I've looked at that were like that usually have some genetic SNPs where they have problems with getting rid of things that are being released. So they went into detox and it was too fast. So I usually have them get the Lugols and start with a drop, work up to 2 drops, and gradually work up to the 50 milligrams a day and see how it goes. Now, in your case, I might even go a little higher because it doesn't look like it increased much. It didn't increase at all, which is this is the first time I've ever seen this. I've never seen it where there was no increase in the amount of bromine.
Post, after, okay.
Oftentimes I'll see the bromine, the first one's perfectly fine. It's in range. It's a 3. And then we do the post and it's a 7, 8, 9. And we go, okay, so your body is displacing the bromine with the iodine, right? Because they're in the same family and the bromine will take up the receptor sites. What is interesting with this, we often think about the iodine being available just for the thyroid, but in fact, the pancreas has iodine receptors, the breasts, and the uterus. So when people have overgrowths like fibrocystic breasts or uterine stuff, fibroids in the uterus, applying it topically, breasts right on the tissue. For the fibroids, you would paint it vaginally or on the vulva so that it gets in and gets into the uterus and has had amazing results with people with at least shrinking down their fibroids somewhat. But it also the pancreas. So I think about, I wonder if there are people, I haven't done the research on this yet, but I'm just wondering out loud if there are folks who are just struggling with getting their blood sugar under control, even though they're doing a lot of the right things. If there's an iodine deficiency and the pancreas isn't getting what it needs. So that's
So I've noticed that the last couple weeks more of this week, I'm getting more headache. This is a couple weeks after the test. On the week of the test or the week after, I haven't noticed anything. But this last week, I'm noticing more headache. And I'm thinking that because I've been eating chocolate, I know I'm sensitive to it, and I was okay for a little bit, but I think maybe I hit my tolerance on that.
Yeah.
And so that's the only thing that I could
think of. No, I think you noticed it the day you did it.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
2 days after maybe for that extra load that your body's using. So I would say go for that dose. Brownstein has a good book on iodine. You may want to look at that book as a good source. And he talks a lot about the iodine load and in the presentation I did talk in the iodine presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Link that. I know in the iodine ERC presentation or a vital presentation, I talked about, I have a slide there specific on the bromine detox. I'm pretty sure it's in the NEPT thyroid module as well.
In the thyroid module. Okay. The NEPT, not the TRT. Are they different?
TRT. It's for sure in vital, and I'm pretty sure it should be here as well. But I'm
okay. I'll look again.
Given that you were directed to go to the TRT for it, but it's basically you want to make sure that you're doing a lot of vitamin C when you're doing this, but you don't want it to
take iodine. Mm-hmm.
They interfere. Okay, so I would say at least 3 grams of vitamin C every day, if not more.
Okay.
Right? And then salt is really important. So some sea salt in the water in the beginning of the day can be very helpful for flushing it. In fact, David Brownstein talks about, doing even a higher level of salt flush. People put a teaspoon in there. Haven't tried that one yet.
Okay. That's
helpful as well for flushing the bromine.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And then we do this in 3 months.
Okay, in 3 months.
Yeah, definitely. And pay attention. Do before you start it, do a little, energy, an audit. What's my energy like? was my gut like? How often am I having, you know, just kind of an audit of where you're starting from. And then after a month, do it again. Like go back to those same parameters. The things that it would affect would be energy, hair. You seem to have a nice thick head of hair, so I don't think hair loss is an issue for you.
No, I have hair loss.
You do?
I have a lot of hair, so now I'm starting to get worried because every time I shower, I get like this long, you know, a bunch of hair. Like,
well, it's normal to lose hair in the shower.
Yeah, but a lot, like compared to like I get like a little ball. That's why I cut my hair. Yeah, so I used to have a lot more hair. So I noticed that over the years that it's been, yeah.
Yeah, so pay attention to that. Any other thyroid symptoms at all? And any other, you know, symptoms in general that are problematic or that just are annoying for you? I would just inventory of those at the start. You can just do a little list them down and then just put dates and then just go back and reassess it as you go through and see if you're getting any improvement. If you're not, if you are, great, you know, and then you just keep on. If you're not after a month, 6 weeks, then maybe think about bumping it up to 75.
Okay. Okay.
Because based on this, I don't really see people with the spots that low. I don't think I've ever seen one that low.
Okay.
And I would bump up your seaweed intake.
Okay.
So kelp and and kelp is the most potent form of it. So, you know, maybe throw in some kelp powder into smoothies and soups and stir fries and whatever else you're eating. Or make little seaweed salads a couple of times a week.
Yeah. Yeah. So seaweed, it's not a problem. I eat seaweed a lot. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not consistently, but I could incorporate that into my diet.
I would be consistent. One of the things I read recently or listened to recently was about the seaweed, the microbiome in seaweed. And there are certain bugs, gut bugs that will really thrive on it and will utilize it and other gut bugs won't. But that when you eat it a lot, it teaches all the others, kind of they signal each other and it teaches them to be good at pulling the nutrients out of seaweed. So it might be, you know, just being regular as opposed to once or twice every a month or something.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I do use, douse pretty regularly. Yeah.
Douse isn't quite as high. If you go into the sea vegetables part of the ERC foundations piece, there's a chart that I have, which shows the mineral content of the various seaweeds.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. We were talking about seaweed. I asked Lynn about this too, was the sea vegetable recipe we were talking about sea vegetable in our small group coaching this week.
Well, you can send them there to that sea vegetables thing. And then there's a booklet in there that they have.
Yeah. Okay.
And in the recipe section too, I think on that one recipe page is every recipe book I've ever written.
Yeah. That's the one I gave her.
Okay. And the certainly the thought.
Like it has all of them.
And on Vital, there's a couple of talks we did. There's a thyroid talk, and then there's a healing kitchen that I show a lot of different seaweed recipes.
Okay. 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 Thank you. This is good. Thanks.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Questions? Comments? And you can just hit stop share.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Thank you. Super. And who's the 76-year-old? Scott was confused. He's like, this can't be for her, but it has her name on it. All right. Anybody else?
One thing I was going to say, I'm not sure if you mentioned this, where you get that bromide from.
Oh, sources, right.
Yeah. One of the things is, hair coloring. So if you color your hair, that is an issue.
Right. And some of the stuff, I didn't mention some of that other stuff is like stuff we generally don't eat. But if you go in hot tubs, if maybe bromine purified, it's either chlorine or bromine. Bread, you know, commercially made bread. But I would go do a Google search on all the sources of bromine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hair. I do a natural one, but I'll look at the sources and see what, you know, what kind of ingredient in there that actually has bromine and would cause a buildup in the body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just do a search and see what you can find.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
I think in that presentation, I list a whole bunch of other sources. I'm not thinking of off the top of my head, but.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good stuff, guys. Which page is the seaweed info on? If you go into the foundations part of ERC, so I think right at the beginning of, if you even go back to the first module in NAPT or the very beginning at the top, I say, click here to get to see the ERC foundations that you have access to. We're actually going to be pulling that into the program once we get the rest of the modules all completed. We're going to pull that in and actually guide you through each pillar on you know, teaching tools and how to actually utilize this stuff in your practices. So it'll be a come up core part of the program. Anybody else? Great. Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks. Oh, good. Lynn just put it up. Foundation.
Yeah, that's module or part four, pillar four. This has all of them in there.
That has all the recipe guides. Good.
It has all the recipe guides. So, and it has a meal planning template and maybe some things you didn't realize were there.
Mm-hmm. We could take a whole year to go through just that program.
Yeah.
Probably should. All right. Thank you, guys. We'll see you soon. I think we have a case study next week. So if anybody has a case study they want to submit, please get it to us by, like, I think it's on Thursday. So get it to us by no later than noon on Tuesday so we have time to set it up. Speaking of, we have a CMDS call later, right? And are there cases for that? No?
I looked probably about 11, and I didn't see anything.
Okay.
So it looks since then.
Answer questions, and I think I'll then present, like, how do you do a case and how do you present a case? So they can do that for their certification.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.